Me, 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 me.
Well, what have we here?
This is so wizarding.
We're all adults here.
Fuck.
Shit. Piss.
Piss.
This is the So Wizard Podcast, episode number 116. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the So Wizard Podcast, episode number 116. My name is Tom Van Zandt. I am your host, and with me, as always, are my lovely and my talented co-hosts, Mr. Joe DiCarlo.
Go get my axe for me, Tom.
Miss Aubrey Litchfield.
My ex is my buddy.
And, of course, your friend of mine, the expert himself, Mr. Marky Mark Markellis Reagans.
Let's get to it. Chop, chop.
Oh, man, nicely done. Well, of course, you're all referring to the season premiere of Walking Dead, season number 7, where we finally learn who Negan introduced Lucille to, and we will be discussing it all spoilery-like towards the end of this episode, but we have a lot of news to get to first. So if you haven't seen it yet, and I can't imagine you haven't, and if you haven't heard yet who died, and I can't imagine you haven't because the internet exploded, you know, wait.
It was T-Dog.
Yeah. It was Carol. Then just, you know, listen, and we will give you our obligatory spoiler warning with Triumph the Insult Comic Dog, and then you'll know to turn us off and go find out first. But until then.
Oh, you didn't know?
We're going to discuss our nerd news of the week right after Joey DiCarlo gives us some social media presence. Joey DiCarlo, would you drop some social media science on us all?
Fantastic, Tom. I sure will. Everybody out there can go to SoWizardPodcast.com where they'll find the podcast every week. Links to all our social media accounts right on the right-hand side of the page. SoWizardPodcast.com. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes. Listen to us on Stitcher Radio and the Stitcher Radio app on your tablet or smartphone. Tom.
I love it.
Thank you, Joey DiCarlo. I do love it.
Boys.
Boy. Oh, please. Are you talking about this?
Boys.
I sure was.
Nice. So before we get into our news, how was everybody's week? Joey DiCarlo, anything new and interesting happened to you this week?
Not at all. I just worked and slept a lot. So it was not a very exciting week for me. But I'm sure Aubrey, Mark, and Tom have some exciting stuff to talk about they did this weekend.
Yeah, Aubrey, how about you? What'd you do this weekend?
First weekend, I went to Super Mega Fest on Saturday.
That's right. You did, out in Marlboro, Mass, correct?
The most super of Mega Fests.
Yes. Originally, I was going to meet Nick Carter, my husband.
I thought your husband was Tom Hardy.
Nick Carter's like my 9-year-old husband.
I'm sorry, what?
What?
My 9-year-old self.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Like, it was to the point where I met the creator of Doug, and he autographed a picture to Mrs. Aubrey Carter. And my mom would put my birthday in the newspaper, and it would always say, from Nick.
Wow.
Yeah, like, we were married. He just doesn't know it. He was a pedophile.
Oh, that's awful.
So
the views of Litchfield do not reflect the views.
I'm on a roll today.
Nick Carter, we do not think you're a pedophile, by the way.
I'm taking everyone out. They just don't know it.
You're like Negan with Lucy. Just taking everybody out.
So that was my original plan, was me and my best friend were going to see Nick Carter to fulfill my life's dream and to please 9-year-old me. And he canceled.
Oh, that punk ass.
Yeah. So we went there.
Forster.
I don't know. He's really in the doghouse right now. I haven't felt up to speaking with him.
He's going to have to do some major foot licking to get back into your good graces.
Yeah. Buy me some flowers, you know, a pizza, spell it out, and pepperoni. So we went anyway, and we got there, and it's totally awesome. I would seriously go to Super Mega Fest again next year. So I will probably be there again next year.
Anything amazing and interesting happen that is worth noting to the Whiz Kids, letting us all?
Pretty much the entire, like, there wasn't really any celebrities that I cared about.
Because Nick Carter blew you off.
Not even Meatloaf? Yeah.
Meatloaf was, like, in his own blocked-off area.
Oh, he's big.
Yeah, everybody was wide open. There were tables. You could just walk up to people. Like, it was really awesome how they had that set up.
Well, you know what happened, Aubrey, was they showed Meatloaf where his table was supposed to be. And he's like, I just won't do that.
And move him. He's like, I'll do anything for cons, but I won't do that.
Correct.
He was seriously the only person that was blocked off. I don't know if I'd have to check the program, whether he was scheduled for photo ops in the morning. I don't know. But he was the only person that was blocked off.
Well, hot patootie. Bless you. Yes. That's amazing.
Everybody else was wide open. You could walk up to anybody. You could talk to them. And everybody was really cool. They all were willing to talk to anybody. They weren't. I mean, there wasn't anybody that I saw that looked snotty about anything. So, but I didn't really go up to anybody. I just kind of stood in the middle of the room and looked at everybody. I looked around and wondered if there was somebody interesting that I cared about. And it wasn't really.
What'd you decide to wear? Did you go with the cosplay motif or did you rep So Wizard t-shirt? What'd you do?
I repped So Wizard t-shirt.
Nice.
I was wearing my SWP one.
Available on wallyhawk.com.
Yes. I did, however, see Edward Cullen's dad. He was there. I should have got a sound drop from him saying, this is Peter. I don't even know how you say his last name. And you're listening to So Wizard Podcast
and
featuring I Hate You Now Watch Twilight.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, the guy who played his dad in Twilight was there?
Yeah. I should have gone up to him and asked for a sound drop, but I didn't.
He is also Maxwell Lord on Supergirl.
Oh, see, I haven't watched that yet.
Mm.
First season available on Netflix. Get on it, Audrey.
It's good stuff.
I will. I did see that. That's on Netflix.
Supergirl can get it, so you should.
So there's like three or four rows of artists, authors, vendors, and then there's this huge open space for celebrities. And then on the other side of all these vendors and stuff was all these vehicles. So it was really set up awesome because there was not any congestion or cluster of people in one place. And it was hard to get around because there was a lot of people there, but it wasn't nearly as hard as I thought it was going to be. It was pretty simple to navigate.
Thank you so much for that. Thank you so much for that.
That's the thing about MegaFest now. It's they moved it from the little hotel. Well, it wasn't little, but the hotel in Natick it used to be in, which looked like a castle. You can see it from the Massachusetts Turnpike as you drive by, which has taken away some of the intimacy of the con, but there's so much more room now. So it's a double-edged sword. Yeah.
And I seriously loved the layout. It was amazing. You were not bumping into people's tables. Like I've been to conventions where you're standing at one table and you go to turn around and you're at somebody else's table bumping into shit. And it was not like that. It was very spaced and I really enjoyed it. And then the vendors were super nice. There wasn't anybody that looked like they didn't want to talk to you. I had one girl ask me if I liked to read, and I was like, yeah. And she actually did this cool like scratch card game where you scratch the thing and you would see what you would get off of her book. And then she gave everybody a sample of the first page of her book, which I thought was really cool. I bought 4 books and got 2 free of this one series. It's the Imperial Saga, I believe. And the guy actually autographed them right there while I was standing there. No charge. Gave me a free poster. And I only paid like $20 for 6 books. So I wasn't mad about that. And then I saw Herbie, the love bug, driver Lindsay Lohan. That was there. There was a cool life-size R2 unit. It wasn't actually R2. I can't even remember who it was.
Aubrey, did you look in the trunk of Herbie?
I didn't, but they did have a door open.
I was hiding in there to get in for free.
I leaked it.
Thank you, Tom. Glad to be here. That's nice what plan. I do nowadays. I can't afford it. Cigarettes are too expensive, so I had to hide in the trunk of Herbie to get into Super Megafest.
But it does say on the side of Herbie the Love Bug driver, Lindsay Lohan.
What's the charge to smell the seat?
It was, I can't even remember what they were charging, but it said free photo op if you did whatever it was. I just can't
I think it's
remember.
Usually like $5 to sit in it or something, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. And then if you donated to somebody's Autism Speaks walk, you got a free picture with Jessica Tokey and Jessica Tokey, Tim Wiley, Scarlett,
Q-fly.
Last name. Yes, thank you. And then one other person. And then they were dressed as mermaids. There was only two people there when I went, but they rotated.
It was a mermaid?
No, he wasn't there yet. So they were dressed as mermaids. They were Star Wars mermaids. And they took pictures with people. But there was a there was the car from Knight Rider. There was the DeLorean was there. And then
was Brown Doc Brown there?
No.
No.
No. He was at BingCon. and then there was the Jurassic Park Jeep.
Yes, yeah, a picture of you and your friend Jurassic Park Jeep. Were you wearing high heels?
No, I was not. I was wearing boots, which any person exploring in the wilderness would wear fucking boots. I'm sorry.
Especially if they're hunting or being chased by dinosaurs.
Yeah, and I was wearing this military vest and everything. You just can't really tell because it blends in with my So Wizard t-shirt. And I was in the passenger seat. So we got to dress up. And it cost me $20 to take pictures with this Jeep because it's $10 a person. Totally worth every penny because those pictures are amazing.
Yes, they are.
I had a blast with that moment. I could have sat there and spent every single penny that Joe gave me.
I love that there was a little dinosaur in the back seat with you guys.
Yeah, and you know what was really awesome was that it wasn't like the guy took one or two pictures. Like, he took at least 10 pictures, and probably a little bit more, but it was totally worth it. You think, I'm paying $10 to take a picture in a Jeep, he's going to take one picture and be fucking done with it. No, this guy was like, every angle, he told us what to do, and he took like 10 plus pictures. So totally worth every penny. That guy was awesome. And he was super excited about every picture that we took.
Happy to have hot chicks, actually. To be honest with you.
He actually had my friend tag him in one of the pictures on Instagram. But, that was definitely the highlight of my time was that fucking Jeep.
The dinosaur Jeep.
Yes, it was amazing.
Nice. The Jurassic Jeep.
Yes. So if anybody wants to see him tagged in this picture, you can go to Jurassic Jeep 17N54 on Instagram, or you can head on over to the So Wizard Instagram or Twitter, and it will be up there as well.
Nice.
So overall, I had a blast, and I would totally go back. Oh, and that was another thing, was that we got off this Jurassic Jeep, and this is the last thing that I wanted to mention about Super Mega Fest, because it totally would go again. We got off the Jurassic Jeep, and right across from the Jurassic Jeep was this stand selling Buddha figurines, but they weren't Buddha, they were different characters. So they had
Yoda.
Boba Fett, they had Yoda, they had Dobby from Harry Potter, they had Homer Simpson. They were just amazing Buddha
figurines.
They all
had their bellies hanging out.
Yes.
Beautiful.
They were just like Buddha, but they looked like different characters. It was seriously the highlight of the vendor area because it was just awesome.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time out there.
I know. I totally will be going next year. So press passes, please.
And hopefully next year it won't fall on the same weekend as BingCon so that we can.
Well, there's a spring edition and a fall edition.
True.
Yeah, the spring edition is the one I went to earlier this year, and I had a fucking blast. I love that convention.
Right on. Well, what did you do this weekend, Mark Ellis?
I didn't really do anything.
No?
No. Watch football.
Oh, Cool. Patriots won.
Yeah, it was a good game.
Awesome.
What'd you do, Tom?
Oh, man. Where do I begin? So Friday, first of all, I will say that I have a new Friday night karaoke gig that I'm doing. So I'm hosting karaoke at the American Legion in Southwick, Mass. And this past Friday was my first evening doing it. And it was a lot of fun. And it was good to see some old friends come out and sing. And we had a good time. And normally when I work at a bar, I will imbibe. I will partake of a little alcoholic beverage. But for some reason, I wasn't in the mood to drink. So I didn't. I stuck with my regular seltzer water. And then I'm driving home at the end of the night. And it was raining, misting, whatever. But the road surface was wet. And I was on Route 57, which is a state highway in Agawam, heading to Springfield to go home, doing about 55. You know, I'm a safe driver. At least I try to be. And all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I see this fucking thing coming into the road and entering my headlights.
Was it a chupacabra?
It was not a chupacabra. I thought it was a dog, to be honest with you. And before I could react, I hit the thing. And my car proceeded to spin out on the wet pavement, and it caught grass and was pulled off the highway down an embankment. And I tried to regain control, but was unable to do so. And my life flashed before my eyes as I careened headfirst into a tree. No reaction, huh?
Well, obviously, so you survived because you're here, unless...
True, yes.
Well, you're a ghost or a zombie.
Well, it could be both of those things, but...
A ghost zombie?
I did survive.
Kind of like Bill Cosby is a ghost dad?
That's right. I did survive because, A, I wasn't drinking, and B, I had my seatbelt on. So there's something to be said for seatbelts, kids. Because otherwise, I would have kissed windshield and who knows what else. So I'm okay. My car, however, is not. It is pretty much totaled.
How's the dog?
Well, let me tell you something about that dog. I actually got out of the car, and I was in shock, obviously. And this was like 1:30 in the morning, so there was no one on the road. I was by myself, and there were no witnesses. And I'm like, what the fuck did I hit? Like, my car is wrecked, but what did I hit? So I grabbed a flashlight, and I proceeded to walk up where I hit this thing. And I saw something laying in the road, and I'm like, what the fuck is that thing? So I went over to it, and it was the biggest fucking raccoon that I've ever seen in my life. I hit a raccoon. I hit Rocket fucking raccoon. And then my car was taken out by Groot. I fucking hit a raccoon and then a tree. It's like Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 guerrilla marketing or something. I'm like fucking beside myself. And I feel kind of bad, actually, Mark, that I hit the raccoon and killed it. I will be honest about that.
Why? Well, you had the right of way.
You're absolutely right. I did have the right of way. But, yeah, this raccoon had a death wish or something. Because if if you saw the headlights, I mean, you would know, hey, maybe I shouldn't walk towards that. And I did make a bit of an effort to avoid it. But unfortunately, it charged right at my car. Like, there was not a lot I could do to avoid it. And, yeah, he did a good job of knocking me off the road. And then the tree did the rest. But like you said, Joey, I'm alive, so I guess I should be thankful for that. And that was the start of my weekend. And then, of course, Saturday, I was supposed to DJ BingCon, which we had the great Mark Mastel on last week. Once again, thanks to Mark for participating in the show last week. And he was on here to promote BingCon and promote my DJing and everything else. And so then I'm freaking out thinking, oh, my God. I have no car. I have no way to get to BingCon. I have no way to get my equipment to BingCon. I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do. And so, of course, I get home after the car gets towed away. And my wife is like, you have to cancel. You can't go to BingCon. And I said, no, I have to go to BingCon. It's like 6 hours from now. You know, what am I supposed to do? I can't cancel on them this last minute. They would have no one to replace me. They'd have nothing to do. So I was a trooper, and I was determined to make it to BingCon, and I got a quick 4 hours of sleep, and then I got up, and I messaged a good friend of mine and said, hey, can you help me and bail me out here and get my ass to BingCon and get my equipment there and Mr. Marky Mark Marcellus Reagans, who supposedly only watched a football game this weekend, came through for me and got me and brought me and helped me set up and all was right in the world. So thank you, Marcellus.
You're welcome. I'm glad I could be there to help you out. See, I know my story, what I did this weekend is entangled with your story, and your story is much more interesting. So I'm just going to piggyback on your story.
You wanted me to tell my story first. I get it. But yeah, you are a lifesaver, my friend. You are the expert, and you are a godsend, and you are my best friend, and thank you very much.
Sure, sure, no problem. And keeping up with True Rad Boo Productions, our method of getting to conventions on time or late still stands.
Yeah, we were very late. The BingCon started at 11, and I was there at 10 after 11 to set everything up, but I had a good excuse in this case for once.
Yeah. One day we're going to make it to a convention early. It's going to happen. We're actually going to be.
I don't know when it'll happen, but it will happen.
We will be at a table and we will be set up and have everything ready to go before the doors open at some point.
Absolutely. So, yeah, but we made it to BingCon, Joey. That's the good news.
All right. So tell us all about BingCon.
All right, Mark, why don't you talk about it first? I've been talking for like the last 10 minutes.
BingCon is except for the weather was pretty crappy. It started to rain earlier in the day, so there wasn't really like a lot of traffic outside like last year. But inside, it was the same quaint, fun convention that it has been for the past couple of years. I had a really good time there. I really enjoyed myself. I didn't get a chance to walk around and see all of the other tables, but I got to get caught up with a few people. Like I was sitting right next to Brian of Secret Identity Podcast.
Mr. Brian Letendry.
Yep. And we talked a little bit about his books and other movies and TV shows and, you know, just nerded out for a little bit. But yeah, the convention was cool. It was a lot of fun. And and I have to say, the highlight of the show for me is Tom emceeing the cosplay contest.
Oh, really?
Yes. Because these little kids would come up on the stage, like this little kid dressed as Kylo Ren. And Tom's like, so why did you kill Han Solo? Why'd you kill your father? This is a little like 5-year-old kid's like, what? It traumatized that poor little kid.
It traumatized him. First of all, he was 9 years old.
Oh, whatever.
And he knew damn well what he was doing. You dress up like Kylo Ren. You know why Kylo Ren is a bastard. He killed Han Solo. He killed his own dad.
Right. The character killed Han Solo. You put this little kid on trial for murder on stage in front of all of these people. I feel so bad for the kid.
Correctly, Marcellus, it got quite a laugh from the audience.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. People love to see. It was funny. I will say it was a lot of fun. You're a good MC for that type of stuff.
Thanks.
But I was like, man. A poor kid. He's like, I just wanted to put on a cool costume. But I didn't know I was going to be grilled.
And then I made him feel bad about it. Well, my argument, because then the other little kid was dressed as Darth Maul. Yeah. And my argument was, what is it with you kids? Like, don't you idolize any of the heroes in the Star Wars universe? Like, who? Well, when I was a kid, I wanted to be Han Solo. You know, I mean, yeah, Darth Vader was cool, but I wanted to be one of the good guys. I didn't want to be Darth Vader.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of funny that the two kids were dressed up as both Dark Lords. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Both Sith Lords. And then the winner of the contest was Bumblebee from Transformers. So that was cool. At least a hero won, albeit a lame hero, but still a hero.
Shut up.
Hey, I know. I like Bumblebee. He's not my favorite Transformer.
But yeah, the convention was a lot of fun. There wasn't as many cosplayers there. I do think that Super Mega Fest being on the same weekend kind of hurt it a little bit.
Oh, I don't think. I know it did. Yeah. That was one of the unfortunate things for BingCon is that Super Mega Fest fell on the same weekend, and Mark Mastel even admitted that. So hopefully next year Super Mega Fest will not schedule the same weekend as BingCon. That would be wonderful. And then we can go to both conventions.
There's just so many cons out there.
There really are.
Don't forget ChaseCon was the same weekend up in Saratoga too.
Oh really? Yep. I didn't even realize that. So it had a lot going against it, plus the weather. Although I still think they had a pretty steady turnout, though. I saw quite a regular traffic going through that room. So, and it was awesome to see all those vendors, and everybody seemed to have a good show. I mean, the consensus that I got was everyone had a good time, and you know, they got to see everyone they wanted to see, and I got to buy some mini mates, so I was pretty excited. Mark's table was literally across from the mini mate vendor dealer, and
I go, as soon as I saw those mini mates, I'm like, oh fuck, There's no
way. He's like, I can't. Tom's going to see those and it's going to be over. And sure as shit.
I assume that you would be like, you know, excited, but then you'll look at them and be like, oh, I already have all of these. I don't need any of these.
How'd you sneak those in the house? Melissa was already mad at you for going.
She wasn't mad at me for going. She just thought that I should have taken care of, you know, calling my insurance company and you know, calling the my car dealership and getting my car situated because it was in a tow yard. So I said, it's the weekend, so nobody's going to do anything. I can do all that from the phone, and I can do that from the phone at BingCon. So I killed two birds with one stone. I managed to fulfill my obligation to BingCon and still make all my necessary phone calls and get my claim in for my car accident. So
told her it was a freaking weekend. It's about the time to have you some fun.
That's it. And that's what happened. But, yeah, so as far as the mini-mates go, I stuck those in the box underneath some Unhappy Grandma comics and brought them in that way.
Shady.
And hopefully my wife doesn't hear this episode.
Does your wife hear any episodes?
No.
Okay. Listen, neither does mine, so no worries.
No worries.
So, yeah, we have to do BingCon again next year, like all of us.
Yeah.
And actually maybe do a show from there. So I think that'd be a lot of fun.
People were asking for Aubrey. Aubrey has her fans.
What people?
People.
I don't believe you.
Church of Aubrey.
I think Mark could vouch for me. I mean, I don't have to name names, but there were definitely people asking about you.
Yeah, people want to know where you know, the whole crew was, especially Aubrey.
It's weird. Kind of surreal. I thought
it was weird, too.
It's your followers. Your followers, Aubrey.
I'm surprised I have followers, because I don't feel like anybody is vocal about being my follower.
Oh, yeah. Hashtag Church of Aubrey. What would Aubrey do? Of course. You have your fans.
I said, praise the Lord.
All right. But yeah, so BingCon was great. And Mark, yeah, the art fight was a lot of fun. That's what I enjoyed hosting, was the art fight. And Joey, you remember the art fight from last year?
Correct.
When you and I were pitted against each other. Well, this year was it seemed like there was a bunch of professional artists, not a lot of like random people from the crowd, which I would have liked that. I would have liked, you know, Joe Schmo, who's not an artist, to get up there and participate. So maybe next year we'll encourage that. But it was fun. We had a good time. And, you know, I called out to the audience to give me characters and scenarios. And, of course, they came through with some very interesting and vivid and imaginative ideas.
Sonic the Hedgehog pregnant with Shrek's baby.
No. What was you and I had to draw what last year? Mario holding Sonic's severed head or something?
Something about Mario and killing Sonic or something.
Sonic, yeah, it was very morbid. Anyway, but yeah, the art fight was great. And then the show ended at 5. And after the show, Mark Hillis and our friend Chris Todd, who is a listener, hello, Chris, we all went with some of the other creators and vendors to
Mardi Gras?
Well, that would have been nice, but no. We went to, what was it called, Tao, Mark?
Yeah, Tao's.
Tao's in nearby East Longmeadow. And we sat down and had some Chinese food. Well, I had sushi, but it was a restaurant that had Japanese sushi and Chinese food, and had some good conversation. And I got to meet Greg, the man that Mark was telling us about last week, who was in that group, the Air Pirates, who was sued by Disney for his slanderous cartoons. He was very cool. Nice guy.
Yeah, he was really cool. I was sitting right next to him. He's awesome.
And you guys shared a zombie together. Yeah. Yeah, that zombie drink. Frou-frou drink.
Yeah, that zombie drink, because, you know, they put some good stuff in there, man. I mean, it looked frou-frou, but, man, I was feeling good after that one.
I'll bet. Yeah, it was good. And, of course, Mike Dobbs was there, and he had some great stories. We got to have him on the show one of these times. He's got some pretty funny stories to share. But, yeah, it was a good time. I enjoyed myself. And once again, thank you, Mark Ellis. You were a lifesaver. You are the man.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Mm-hmm. See, karma is a good thing. See, that time Jay Money bailed you out when you locked your keys in your car, and then you turned around and bailed me out. See, now I got to bail somebody out eventually, too. It's one of those pay it forward kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
So that, and that's pretty much it. That's my BingCon recap.
All right, did we already go through what Joey did this weekend?
Joey didn't really do anything.
I didn't do anything.
Oh, you slept. That's right.
I worked, and I took my daughter to a cheerleading competition. Wasn't that exciting?
No. All right. Well, why don't we get on with some nerd news then, Joey DiCarlo?
Oh, my God. There's just so much. Let's go ahead. I guess we'll start with some breaking news.
Breaking news.
News, motherfucker.
Thank you, Virtual Aubrey.
Excellent. So our first piece of news comes out about Deadpool Part 2, the highly anticipated sequel to Deadpool.
The very successful Deadpool 1.
Correct. And director Tim Miller has exited the project.
What?
Over creative differences with Ryan Reynolds.
Which is weird, because those two were the two responsible for even getting Deadpool on the big screen.
Right. So
they had a good working relationship. What happened?
The studio sided with Ryan over Tim, and Tim left the project. So he wanted it to be a more slick and more superhero-y movie, and was very heavy into getting the guy from Friday Night Lights as Cable.
Right.
And which Ryan Reynolds starts. Didn't want either of those things and put his foot down, and now there'll be a new director.
Wow.
So what do you guys think? Let's go with Aubrey.
As much as I feel like that's a big ego trip on Ryan Reynolds' part, I actually really agree with the direction that he wanted to take the movie because I feel like the whole idea of Deadpool as a movie is that it's different from the rest of the superhero movies, and making it a superhero movie just takes away the essence of Deadpool. So I'm kind of team Ryan Reynolds on it.
If Ryan Reynolds wasn't one of the sexiest men alive, would you still be on his team?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if I mentioned that, but Ryan Reynolds was on the side of wanting to keep it the same tone as the first movie.
Not that, you know, his title as the sexiest man alive hurts, but I mean, I still would agree with him if he was ugly.
Nobody wants Alanis Morissette's sloppy seconds, so.
Isn't that ironic?
Seriously, don't you think?
Johansson's sloppy seconds.
Mark.
You know, Aubrey kind of changed my mind a little bit, I would say. I had one viewpoint, but Aubrey made a really good point there. But I think I still have to stick with the director. I mean, I know Ryan Reynolds is cool shit, and he's a star, and everyone loves him. And, you know, for a first-time director to make something that accomplished and wanting to, you know, up the game a little bit for the second one, I see no problem with that at all. I don't think that he was going to change anything super radically. I don't think he was going to make, like, an X-Men movie, you know, out of Deadpool 2. But it really sucks that has come to this, and that they couldn't find a mutual ground. So hopefully Ryan Reynolds knows what he's doing. I mean, the studio believes in him. You know, he did kind of head up this whole movie since the beginning. But, you know, Tim is a visual director, man. It sucks that he's not going to be doing Deadpool 2, but I guarantee you whatever he does next is going to be big, because studios are going to grab this guy. He's got something.
Tom.
Well, I would say that if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And the formula for Deadpool 1 worked beautifully. And which of us actually thought it would? I mean, we were all skeptical that was going to fly. And it actually was executed perfectly. And it worked. So again, if that's what they did with the first one and it worked, why would you really fuck around with the formula for the second one? So I kind of see Ryan Reynolds' point. On the other hand, I see Tim Miller's point, because why wouldn't you want to try something different? Okay, we did it this way the first time. Now let's experiment and see if we can go this way with it. So I guess I'm waffling, but at the end of the day, you got to go with the star of the movie and the guy who's truly responsible for getting the movie made at all, and that's Ryan Reynolds. So, and I wasn't too keen on that guy playing Cable, so I'm okay with the fact that that's being kiboshed now. No offense to that actor. I just don't think he's right for that character. So, Ryan Reynolds, all the way.
Yeah, I gotta go with Ryan Reynolds. I'm on the Tom and Aubrey team today. I would just err on the side of him, since the Deadpool is basically his career at this point. If something bad happens to Deadpool, I mean, he's pretty much done.
Yeah, and he's going to get blamed for it, even though, you know, it would be the director's fault.
Yeah, and I don't really want to... I wasn't too into that guy as Cable either. Certainly am not into Deadpool being more like every other superhero movie. So from what I'm hearing, if everything's accurate, it definitely sounds like we're all Team Ryan at this point. Especially, it's weird that the director of Deadpool tried to put his foot down about anything. I mean, to be fair, I mean, Deadpool was great, but he didn't. He hasn't really done anything else, so it doesn't really give him much of a leg to stand on, really.
No, but like Mark said, someone else will grab him up to direct a movie because...
Oh, no, he's not going to be hurting for work. It's just, like, what else has he done, you know? Anything? Well, Mark, you're the expert.
Yeah, Deadpool was his first feature film. But it's not like he's like some schmuck off the street. Like he.
No. But I'm just saying, it's not like it's like Ridley Scott or somebody that can put their foot down against the main actor of the movie.
Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but when you
gotta know your role,
when you're a first time director and you make your first movie and you knock it out of the fucking park, like blow everyone's expectations away and actually gives Fox Studios a hit superhero movie for a change. Like, you should be able to get what you want. I mean,
a little bit of pull.
Yeah, that should buy you a little bit of something.
Here's the problem. When the main star of the movie, who was really the reason that movie was so successful, puts his foot down the other way, then you're going to lose in that battle.
Especially when it's Ryan Reynolds. If it was some smaller actor, it might have, you know, been a little bit easier.
If it was the actress who played teenage Negasonic Teenage Warhead, and, you know, it probably...
Yeah, they'd probably just replace her, crack one joke about why you look so different, and then everyone would have moved on,
yeah.
Yeah, there's no replacing Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool.
That is what it is.
It would not be Deadpool anymore without him.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I can kind of understand. And I'm sure that with the success of Deadpool, Ryan Reynolds was able to promote himself to a higher position in the film.
I'm sure he's an executive producer.
Yeah, so, you know, that gives him a little more clout to... have the studios listen to him as opposed to the other director. But
I wonder what hack director they're going to get to direct it.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Brett Ratner? What's he doing?
No, not Brett Ratner.
Why not our friend that we want to direct the major film, the guy who does those awesome Game of Thrones episodes? Nick, help me, Joey. You know his name.
Neil Marshall.
Neil Marshall, thank you.
I'm all for Neil Marshall getting money. But it'll probably be like Louis Leterrier or someone terrible.
Yes,
like that.
Oh, that's perfect. You nailed it, man. It's gonna be Louis Leterrier or Bryan Singer.
He did make Unleashed and Transporter 1 and 2, so I will give him a free pass.
Yeah. Oh, Mike Dobbs is a big fan of Crank 1 and 2, and I'm like, oh, you and Joey will get along just fine.
How can you not like those movies? They're rule.
Yep.
Full bodied Tourette's. Come on. All right. Moving on. Well,
surprisingly, Mark Ellis sided with the director and the rest of us sided with Ryan Reynolds. Maybe Ryan Reynolds will direct it himself.
Maybe.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, he's directed a movie before.
Sure.
All right. So let's stay in the X-Men universe.
Oh, boy.
And this week we had the big release of the first trailer for Logan, R-rated.
It's probably worth a news drop, right?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Tom.
Welcome for a special news report.
Thank you, Lindsay Lohan.
I don't even remember where that drop came from, which is funny. Well, so we got our first trailer for Logan, the R-rated third Wolverine solo movie. And we all had a chance to watch it, I'm sure.
I did.
I did.
I did.
I did.
I did.
I did.
Thanks, Lindsay.
I did. Thank you, Professor Claw.
I did. It's me, the Pope. I watched it too.
Why does the Pope sound like Bela Lugosi?
That's the way the Pope talks.
Pull the strings.
Children of the night, what beautiful music they make.
At church. All right, so what did we think of this fantastic new trailer, Tom?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I'm very meh about it. I mean... It doesn't look like it follows the old man Logan story. Like,
it kind of can't. They're missing like 70% of the characters.
I understand, but it just, I don't know. I don't know where they're going with this. I don't know what the point of it is. It doesn't look very big budget at all. I mean, there were no giant special effects in the trailer. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know how to feel about that. It just, it's like Hugh Jackman and... It's like is it a buddy movie where they're like a road, hit the road buddy movie between him and Professor X? Because that's what it looked like in the trailer. It's Patrick Stewart and Hugh Jackman in a car driving cross country. with X-23. Is that supposed to be X-23?
Yes.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know how to feel about it. I guess that's just a teaser. I guess I need to see some more before I can be excited or disappointed.
All right, that's a thumbs in the middle. What about you, Aubrey?
I'm going to borrow a quote from Mr. Joey DiCarlo. It's a mistake. It's nothing but trash.
Yes.
Nice.
Words cannot describe how much I hope that movie does not get made.
Well, it's already made.
Yeah, they already made it.
Well, I hope they just cancel it and like, okay, this is going to go into a vault labeled Big Mistake.
Right next to that Jerry Lewis clown World War II movie?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's a deep cut.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah.
All right, Mark.
You know, every Wolverine trailer looks good, with the exception of X-Men Origins. That one just looked crappy from the beginning. But the other one looked like it was going to be a good movie, and I was kind of like, eh. So this one, it has some... Visually, it looks cool. I like that it's, you know, it's coming off like a drama as opposed to an action movie. I like that it's rated R, so that means you're going to get a little bit more, you know, some more serious kills, I guess you could say, but... I think it looks good. I think it has the potential to be a good dramatic superhero movie.
It looks like they took a portion of the storyline from the first X-Men movie and regurgitated it. When he was like
when they were trying to turn the Statue of Liberty into something?
Yes, no, when he was running around with Rogue and protecting her and so now instead of Rogue it's X-23, but it's the same scenario, like someone's obviously hunting her and it's up to Logan to protect her and defend her and blah 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 blah.
Yeah, it comes full circle. That's the way it started. That's the way it's going to end.
Yeah, maybe. I guess there's some symmetry there.
Yikes!
I don't know. I think it has the potential to be good, but like I said, all the other previews, all the other X-Men and Wolverine movies, the previews always make it look good too. So I'm holding out hope until I actually do see it.
I guess my problem is, you know, that story doesn't excite me. Like, if that's the plot of the movie, come on, man. I've seen that done a million times and probably a million times better.
I thought it looked like trash.
A mistake, nothing but?
It was awful. Like, looks like X-Men try hard with a vengeance. Just like if you are a 13-year-old kid that wears pants with chains on them, this is going to be like the movie for you.
Where do you get that from?
It just is like, oh, it's so depressing. And I love Johnny Cash and I love that song covered by him, but like it's just like, look how depressing and mature we are. Everyone is old and dying.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Here is some violence.
You want some black leather suits and the Statue of Liberty again?
I just want a good X-Men movie.
How do you know this isn't one?
Seems like a lot to ask for these days, but
how do you
we're now in the early 80s stage of comic book movies compared to comics, where, you know, we had a couple good mature or R-rated, not even necessarily mature, like Deadpool or the Dark Knight and maybe like 45 minutes of the other two Batman Nolan movies come out. And now, you know, we're going to get so that was our Dark Knight Returns and Watchmen. And now we're going to get all the rest of the grim and gritty crap. So, I don't know, it just seems like stupid. I'm not even remotely interested or excited.
Okay, having not read Old Man Logan, that seems like a storyline that would be good to do as a serious, dark, and dramatic story.
Yeah, but who wants to watch that? Especially if you can't even do it with, like, any of the characters that are already in Old Man Logan because they're all owned by Marvel. So, I don't trust Fox to make a good movie. I don't know, it just looks too try-hard to me.
Gotcha. Well, like I said,
it was like a purple Sonic the Hedgehog was going to come out and be like, nothing personal, kid. Just felt like, ow, the edge. That's how I felt. I cut myself on the edge of the movie afterwards.
Right.
I'm going to go to the movie and start like secretly cutting myself while watching it.
Oh, man. Nobody should do that. We do not advocate that.
If it's as bad as Apocalypse, I might have to.
No, Apocalypse was not bad.
I know, I actually liked Apocalypse.
Oh, I know you guys liked it.
Don't hate, celebrate.
So we'll see. It's not like I'm not going to go see it on behalf of the podcast, but I am not even remotely excited or interested. I do love Johnny Cash, though.
Well, Johnny Cash is not in this movie. I'm sorry.
His music always makes for good montages and stuff.
So. Sure.
Lest we forget the opening credits of Dawn of the Dead remake.
Oh, good. Good, good.
Ironically, the director of this movie is also the director of Walk the Line, the Johnny Cash story.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, that's probably why Johnny Cash is in his trailer.
There you go. So he knows how to make a good movie. I have faith in it until, you know, I'm proven otherwise.
Hey, man, I'd love to be proven wrong, but it's just not anything I even remotely want from a superhero movie. So everybody, all the 15-year-old kids out there can go see it and feel real mature. You know, they don't read comics. They read graphic novels. So.
I will say it's pretty ballsy of Fox to name the movie Logan. Mm-hmm. And not have the name Wolverine in the title or X-Men in the title is kind of a ballsy move. I kind of respect that.
Did you notice that his dog tag said Logan, not Wolverine?
Yes, I did notice that. Yep. It did not have his code name on it.
Nope.
Well, I guess we'll have to see. When does that come out?
March 3rd.
Oh, okay. Just I'll probably be too busy playing Nintendo Switch. Watch that.
Oh, is that some more breaking news, Joey DiCarlo?
No, we don't need to really talk about it. New Nintendo systems
never
coming out.
Gaming systems on this podcast.
Well, all right. You and Mark can talk to me about how much you guys love and play video games.
Well, that doesn't mean our listeners don't. I know the official artist of So Wizard Podcast, Mr. Andrew Del Valle, is a big gamer.
Sure.
Maybe we should have him on to talk about the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, there you go. Have a little segment next time.
Sounds good.
All right, so moving on. Have more breaking news.
Of course we do.
Well.
Welcome for a special news report.
Excellent. So let's move on to some happier news. I'm sure Mark will be thrilled.
Why?
To know that Donald Glover has been officially cast as Lando in Young Han Solo, the movie. It is 100% official and confirmed. What do you guys think? Let's go to the expert, Mark Ellis Reagans. Regans, Mark Ellis Regans.
It's a mistake. It's not to be trash.
Yeah, right. I don't believe that for a second.
I'm psyched. I think it's perfect. Everyone knows how much I love Donald Glover. I think he's amazing. He's talented. I'm not 100% sure how much I can buy him as Lando, but if anyone's going to play Lando, if I could choose anyone to play Lando and not Michael B. Jordan, it would be Donald Glover. So I'm psyched. I'm totally psyched. I think he's going to knock it out of the park.
Looks to me like you're the expert, Mark.
Well, Virtual Aubrey sounds like she agrees with you, Mark.
I hate you, Tom.
I do.
No, you don't. You came and bailed me out. You don't hate me.
No comment.
All right. How about Tom?
Hi.
Go ahead.
I don't even remember what the question was.
We were talking about Donald Glover as Lando.
All right. Sorry. Yeah, Donald Glover's the man. I'm a big fan of Atlanta. I'm a big fan of Donald Glover on Community. I'm a big fan. So he can definitely do that cocky. He's kind of short, though, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Billy Dee's supposed to be, like, a little taller than that. So they're going to have to play some trickery there and make him taller than he actually is. Standing next to the actor playing Han Solo, he's going to look real short, but.
It'll be like when Han Solo walked over Jabba's tail in the special edition.
That's right. I'll just move him up digitally in all the scenes that they're in together. First of all, I think it's amazing that they've acknowledged that Lando's character will be in the Han Solo movie. So that, first off, is great because I love Lando's character and I want to see more of him. Admittedly, I'd love to see more Billy Dee, but I'll take what I can get. And Donald Glover is the man. So, yeah, I think that's good. And it might actually save that movie.
Aubrey.
I don't know too much about Donald Glover. I'll just take Mark's opinion on it.
Well, he is the expert, Aubrey.
Yeah, he is.
It seems to me like you're the expert, Mark.
I gotta get you some new versions of those.
Yeah, they're kind of cruddy.
I made them off YouTube. They're not the best of drops.
Oh, I still think they're the best.
Anywho, yeah, I'm still not excited for Young Han Solo, the movie, in any way, shape, or form. But
it's called Solo, right?
Like the guy that fought Spider-Man?
That's right.
Anywho, yeah, I don't know. Still not excited about the movie. I'm curious to see if he could be as suave and as Lando. I don't know if he can or not. Though it's very hard to be as suave as Billy Dee Williams.
Yeah, those are big shoes to fill.
Dude, you got to watch Atlanta. Trust me.
I have way too many TV shows I'm watching right now to even attempt to pick one up.
I'm just telling you, that kid has something. He has a quality.
Oh, I'm sure he'll do a good job. I'm still not interested in the movie. So I got to see a trailer or something with this guy as Han Solo before I can get excited.
Right.
Because right now it's just some guy is not Han Solo as Han Solo.
Hey, at least Chewbacca will be Chewbacca.
Well, that's not too hard. It's just like a suit you put on somebody.
Exactly. And a bear growl.
Rawr. Rawr. All right, well, that was some nice, easy, quick news. I thought we'd go with something that we'd all be happy little bunch and agree on. And, you know, we'll go into the next little bit of news here. I'm sure we're going to have a little bit of arguing about.
Really? We would argue over something? That
possibly.
I don't like. That doesn't sound like us.
Possibly.
Possibly.
And now the news.
All right. So Joss Whedon mentioned in an interview that he would love to direct a Star Wars film.
The Joss Whedon.
Yes, the director of Avengers and
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Age of Ultron.
We know him well. Yeah. Firefly.
Right, and Dollhouse.
Serenity.
Right, right. So, yeah, he would be all about interested in directing one of the Star Wars story standalone films. Needless to say, the internet went into flames. with anger and no, everyone screamed in unison.
Really?
Yeah, no, a lot of people were not very interested in seeing this happen. And I know Mark is a lover of all things.
Wait, I actually, virtual Mark could actually answer for you, like, how Mark feels about this, if you will let me.
Oh, sure.
This is what I think Mark would say.
I don't care.
I don't think Mark would say that. I'm sure he would care very much so about Joss Whedon directing a Star Wars movie.
He doesn't care about directors. That's not his thing. Oh, that's right.
So, Mark.
Hi.
Defend Joss Whedon.
Oh, hi, Mark.
I honestly didn't read up on any of that at all. Like, I didn't see the internet burst into flames over it.
Neither did. But I'm sure they did.
So, yeah, I would... Well, I would have Joss Whedon's baby if he would let me. So him making a Star Wars movie is totally fine.
That might be the quote of the podcast.
Mark, Joss Whedon, and Arnold Schwarzenegger are junior part two. All right. How about Aubrey?
I'm a little shaky about it only because I love Joss Whedon. Don't get me wrong. Firefly was amazing, and the first Avengers was amazing, but Age of Ultron kind of shook me up a little bit with trusting him, because the further I get away from that movie, the further my care goes down. Like, I don't care if I ever see that movie again.
Wow.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm kind of hesitant on him taking the reins. I think J.J. Abrams is doing a great job.
All right, Tom.
Well, I like Joss Whedon, and I don't. Although I had problems with Age of Ultron, I don't have the ire for it that you guys all have. I think it still holds up. I just watched it not too long ago, and while it has its problems, yes, I still enjoyed the movie. So. And I don't think Joss is a bad guy or a bad director or a bad storyteller. So if he wants to play with the Star Wars universe, I say let him. Having said that, he needs to do it with a Star Wars sensibility. And he can't go looking to kill off major characters just for the shock value like he tends to want to do with all of his things. So if he's willing to play in the Star Wars universe, quote unquote, and keep his ideas in the Star Wars universe and not do anything dramatic or drastic, I say go for it. Have fun.
Hmm.
What do you think, Joey DiCarlo? I'm sure you have a strong opinion about this.
Wrong.
Well, that seems harsh.
Yeah, I'm all set.
This is the man who gave you the Avengers, man.
To be fair, Joss Whedon gets a free pass for life because he is involved in Buffy and Angel, two of the best TV shows ever. Despite how bad Buffy fell off towards the end. And the first Avengers is a freaking classic. So, again, nothing against that stuff, but I'm good.
Well, then he doesn't get a free pass for life.
No, because...
No.
No. You know what? Ridley Scott gets a free pass for life, but I certainly don't want to see Blade Runner 2.
Wait, so what does the free pass for life actually get you as a film
Well,
director?
I mean, it tries...
it to, obviously like, doesn't get your respect.
It tempers down the hatred that you normally would get for making shitty movies sometimes.
Okay.
You know, I have to agree with Aubrey. Age of Ultron does not hold up on repeat viewings. It gets worse every single time I watch it. Okay. At this point, it is the Matrix Revolutions of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Wow.
Director out of control with not any input allowed from the studio. And you know what? Hawkeye is going to have a family that lives on a farm. Why? I don't know, because Josh Whedon wants him to. Black Widow and the Hulk are going to have a stupid romance. Why? Yep. Josh Whedon wants him to.
I don't know who Josh Whedon is, but I know Joss Whedon probably had a good reason for wanting.
Yeah, thanks for the correction, asshole. So, he was kind of a cockbag in the press after the movie came out. That didn't help his cause. And, you know, it's pretty clear he was the reason why Agent Coulson's not allowed back in the movies, because he just said no.
Huh.
So,
it's a cock!
Basically, it's not really an excuse for his recent behavior, so it's not feeling it. We already saw his sci-fi version of people in space. It's called Alien Resurrection.
That's not fair at all.
I agree.
Number one,
you're right. It wasn't fair. I spent $12 to go see that.
Number one, and I've said it before, and I will say it again. The script for Alien Resurrection is one of the most amazing scripts I've ever read. And that's why I like Joss Whedon. It wasn't Buffy or Angel or Firefly or anything. It was that script before anyone knew who the fuck he was. That script is amazing. I watched that movie and it's like, it could be because the director was French and he just didn't get the gist of it. Something I
probably
lost in a translation.
Before the movie even started filming. He definitely surrendered to making a good movie. But
I read that story and I look at the screen and what he filmed is kind of what's in the script, but it's not filmed the right way. Like, he didn't understand the language at all. And that is the reason that movie bombed. I guarantee you, if anyone made that script the way it was written, that movie would... It was like the perfect marriage of Alien 1 and Alien 2. It's amazing. Including the clone Ripley alien thing. But yeah, he's an amazing writer. He's an amazing storyteller. You can't blame Alien Resurrection on him.
Clone Ripley didn't write the script. So yeah, I'm just not feeling it. Sorry. Let him go make something on his own. Take some time off.
He is making things on his own. But you know, if the opportunity for him to do a Star Wars movie presents itself, hopefully he'll take it. I think he'll do a really good job.
Well, you know what, Joey, you're entitled to your opinion, but you know.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
We like Joss, so. And I like Age of Ultron. Mark, you still like Age of Ultron, right?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I haven't watched it over and over again to have it depreciate like Joey has.
Have it depreciate every time.
Yeah, so I haven't gotten that far yet, but
it's so bad. Why would you keep watching it over and over again?
Probably watched it like 3 times total, and each time it gets worse. So I keep telling myself, all right, this is the time. I'm going to be like, oh, yeah, this is why I like it. This doesn't happen.
Well, I admit it's not as good as the first Avengers movie, but I still think it's a pretty decent movie. And I... You know, watching after BingCon, I decided to treat myself to Captain America Civil War because I haven't got the DVD yet. And watching like the behind the scenes, they show like a lot of the making, a lot of scenes from other Captain America movies, including the Avengers. And the scenes that they showed from Age of Ultron, I'm like, holy shit, yeah, that was a cool sequence. Yeah, that was kind of cool. So maybe I will revisit that movie again. I didn't really have a big issue with it.
Again, it had its problems, but overall, you know, it wasn't a bad movie.
Well, we could argue about this for hours, but let's go into some more happy news.
Happy news. Happy, happy, happy.
Nobody fucks with the Jesus.
Okay.
I'm out of breaking news drops, so I'm just messing it up.
Great. So our last little piece of news, we've got it's not a trailer and it's not a teaser, but it's a sneak peek at Guardians of the Galaxy 2, which randomly dropped online a couple days ago.
It felt a lot like a teaser.
It's according to James Gunn, it is not the full first trailer. It is just a sneak peek, which it's labeled as on Marvel's official YouTube channel. Everyone else is calling it trailer one, but it is a quote unquote, you can't see me making the air quotes, but sneak peek. So yeah, it dropped. We all got a chance to watch it. What did you think? Mark?
It was visually very pretty. Didn't really tell much of the story, which is fine. But, you know, for what it was designed to do, it worked for me. you know, I like what I saw.
Awesome. And Tom?
Cinematic goal.
Are you still okay with raccoons right now? Or?
Yeah, it's a little sore subject for me, actually. The fucking raccoon thing and the tree thing. Although I will say I was a big fan of seeing Baby Groot on Rocket's back. That was pretty cool. But yeah, no, I liked it. It still has the humor, which I'm a fan of, you know. And when Drax is like, "Do you need a hug?" And he's like, "No, no, I do not." I love the cadence of Christopher Pratt as Star-Lord. Like, he's just got such a great charisma to him. The character is so damn likable. And he's so, I don't know who you can compare him to. Like, he has a Han Solo element, but he's also got like a boyish fun element as well. Like, he's cocky, but he's also boyish and fun. And it's just a great marriage of personality. And it totally comes through in that scene. Like, even his facial expressions, everything. He's just great. He's great in that role. So I can't wait to see more Star-Lord and Drax interaction. And obviously more, even though I hate raccoons right now, more Rocket and Groot and more Zoe Saldana. Oh, boy, Zoe Saldana.
All right. What about you, Aubrey?
See, that could be trailer number one, and I'd be perfectly fine with it. I like how they didn't show too much, and I feel like trailers these days give away the entire movie before you even go see it.
Mm-hmm.
Dropping some truth. So I'm very happy with that. I feel like that could be trailer number one, trailer number two, trailer number three, and be done with it. And I'd be perfectly fine with that. I would still go see it.
Yeah, I was pretty much going to go see it, even if the trailer was a blank screen that said coming soon on it.
Mm-hmm.
I also thought it was rad. I'm excited that Nebula is part of the team in this one.
What?
And yeah, she's going to be part of the main team. Her and Yondu are part of the team.
I did not get that from the trailer.
How it was already in the promotional stuff that's come out in the past.
Oh, in the poster, right?
Yeah.
I just assumed, I don't know. They're actually Guardians of the Galaxy. I just assumed Yondu was just going to be Yondu like he was in the first movie.
I don't care. Kieran Gillen can be in anything.
I did notice that his fin grew, which is cool. He looks more like the Yondu from the comic books, which I'm a fan of.
And yeah, this looks like more of what I want. More of the first movie, but not the same. So, and my favorite thing is that in none of the promotional materials for people talking about making the movie, has a single person said it's going to be like Empire Strikes Back. So.
Yeah, thank God.
That's usually that and somebody making a movie that's based on something and it's talking about how big a fan of that something they are. Death knell for the movie.
Yeah.
Anytime somebody says their sequel is going to be like Empire Strikes Back, you know it's going to be bad.
Yeah.
And anytime somebody talks about how big of a fan they are of the movie they're making, the subject matter, you get Alien versus Predator Rectum.
Or Alien Resurrection.
No, that's just when they write the script.
Hey, easy, killer.
So, yeah, I wanted to end on that one because I knew we would all think it was awesome. So there's not really much to say about it. Just go watch it. It's like a minute. But it's rad. So
yeah, it was awesome. My virtual Aubrey saw that trailer, and her first impulse was,
"Fans back together, guys."
Yep. She was stoked. Stoked to see all those characters again. And I agree with her. Cool. Yeah. And good times.
So that's the news.
That is the news. And we're only a couple weeks away from Doctor Strange, which I'm very excited about.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
A lot of good reviews coming out for that.
Yeah, it looks awesome. So are we going to discuss the Walking Dead premiere?
Yeah, I guess this is where Aubrey gets off.
Whoa.
Oh, no. Isn't that getting attacked.
That's up to Joe.
Yeah, if he can complete the task.
Oh, good.
Oh, he's sleeping, so he can't argue with me. Anyway, Avita said,
can't contain these kittens.
I love it. Well, Aubrey, you have a happy Halloween because I won't talk to you till after Halloween. And remember to
eat candy, fuck bitches.
Yes, yes, you guys. Well, actually, my trick or treat is on Monday. I don't know if you guys just have the same trick or treat schedule, but So I shall talk to you guys. Have a blast. Have a fantastic weekend. Have a fantastic holiday. And I shall talk to you then.
All right, Aubrey. Thanks.
Bye, friends.
Bye.
Bye, Aubrey.
Aubrey, ladies and gentlemen.
Taken out by Negan. You want to know who he took out? It was Aubrey.
All right, so I guess we'll talk about The Walking Dead season premiere this week.
Mm-hmm.
First off, I guess we should just go ahead and say what we thought without spoilers. So, Tom, quick first impressions.
Best episode yet.
Ever?
Of the entire series, yes.
Wow, okay. Mark?
I would say that's the best episode this season.
It was the only episode this season.
Oh, well, then I'm correct.
Watto thinks you're funny, Mark. What about you, Joey?
I thought it was great. Definitely up there in the top episodes of the series.
Yep. And it may wear off on me. The statement that it's the best episode they've ever done may be overstating.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was just because it you can't show this episode to someone that's never watched the show before.
Right.
And have them have the same reaction. It needs 6 years worth of build up to this point.
So. True. True. But
that's why I'd probably put the pilot over it.
Yeah. But I will say that after leaving us with that cliffhanger all summer and pissing off the majority of fans, they lived up to the expectation with this episode.
Sure.
Yeah. If it definitely had the impact, no pun intended, that they wanted it to have. So shall we drop a spoiler alert?
I think we should.
Okay.
Spoiler. Here's a spoiler. You will die alone.
That's right. And unfortunately, so will Glenn and Abraham. Yeah. So what'd you guys think of that, Marky Mark?
You know, the longer the show goes on, the less I care about it. I'm not going to lie.
What?
You're falling out of love with these characters?
Yeah. I really am.
Why?
I just don't care.
Are you becoming desensitized to the whole zombie scenario?
There's so many other TV shows and movies, and there's so many other things so many other things that I could be doing that it's like, all right, I feel like I'm forcing myself to like watch the show, to stick with it. And you know, it's not the fault of the show. The show, it is what it is. It's the same show that it's been for the past six seasons, but you know, Abraham being taken out, I'm like, yeah, that's good. You know, whatever. I'm not going to miss him. Glenn being taken out, I'm like, all right, good. Someone read the comic book. Good for them. And then that's pretty much it.
But you didn't like the red herring that he threw you? I mean, they made it look like Abraham was the one, and then they totally ultimately kill Glenn as well. And it's like, holy shit. Like, that was why I was impressed with the episode. The Abraham kill, you're right. I mean, he's a great character. Michael Cudlitz does a great job, but he died. He was supposed to actually take the arrow in the eye that Denise, the doctor, took last season. So to lose him is expected, but it looked like they were sacrificing him to not kill off Glenn. And then they turn around and kill off Glenn in addition, which I thought was masterful. You didn't feel that way?
No, I didn't. I mean, it's kind of like when I watched the first Scream movie and the killer turned out to be two people. It's like, oh, all right, that kind of makes sense.
So it wasn't a clever twist. You just thought, well, that is how it should be.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, they had that big cliffhanger and they made people wait all summer or, you know, whatever, the big chunk of time. And to deliver just Abraham's death. It's like, you like that. Yeah, that means that's, you know, that's a powerful thing and it means something. But, you know, there's more to that. You know, there's more to that. And Dave, we've talked about it before. The producer of the show is such a fan of those books now. You know Glenn's going to get it. You know he is. And as soon as Negan was standing right next to him and you can see like Glenn, like not like really like see the character, not really like paying attention to what was going on. It's like he's about to get hit. Like there's no way. There's no way they're going to set this shot up and not have him take a swing at Glenn.
Well, you knew when Daryl punched Negan, you knew he wasn't going to take out his...
I was hoping he was going to kill Daryl.
Yeah, no. Exactly.
No, I knew exactly where that was going. He was going to like Daryl's feistiness and decide he wanted Daryl to be one of his saviors, and then he was going to take out the punishment on one of the others. But I've said all along that I thought it would be Glenn. The Abraham thing was the shock to me when it was first Abraham.
I'm just happy they showed both people dying. I was really worried at the beginning of the show that we were going to go into some sort of flashback or Morgan was going to be raising goats for 90 minutes or you know, they're going to find some way to not show us what happened or make us wait until 9:57 p.m. before we see the person get killed.
Yeah, no, they only made us wait about 20 minutes in. So, and then they fucked with our hearts and heads a little more, making you feel like the whole time Negan's playing with that fucking axe, you're like, he's going to chop Rick's hand off. He's going to chop Rick's hand off. And for those who don't know, who don't read the comic books, the governor actually chopped Rick's hand off many, many years ago in the comics. So
we've talked about that in the show before. Robert Kirkman now says that's a mistake.
Right.
It's nothing but trash.
He shouldn't have done that.
That he shouldn't have done that simply because he'll sit down and start writing an issue and he'll write, Rick walks across the room and opens a can of beans. And he's like, wait, Rick can't do that. He only has one hand.
Right. So he regrets that.
He regrets having done that.
It was Gimple playing with our emotions, knowing that that happens to Rick in the comic. And so.
Well, it was just great because you're just expecting, you're like, okay, well, Rick's going to grab the axe and kill him. Well, Rick's going to do this because you're just so used to it.
Right.
From 6 years of him being a complete badass to see him just totally ripped apart was great.
Yeah. And then, but that's the other reason why you thought he might lose the hand, because it's like, okay, how could Negan make him even less powerful? He could take one of his hands. That would make him less powerful.
Well, then he was going to have to chop off Carl's hand.
Right. And at that point, you've seen them that killed these two main characters and you're thinking to yourself, oh, my God. They would totally chop Carl's hand off. They are not above doing this.
Well, how about Carl being a total badass and be like, just do it.
Just do it, Dad.
His dad's freaking out. He's like, just fucking chop my hand off. I don't give a shit.
Right. He's like, you don't want everyone to die, Dad. Just chop my hand off.
Notice that Negan did not want to ruin his luxurious hair, though.
No.
Carl's wonderful hair should not be ruined by the baseball bat. So.
That's right.
To be fair, but like Mark said, them following the books and knowing that the showrunner is such a big fan of the books, it kind of did ruin a little bit of who could possibly die, since, you know, Carl, Rick, Michonne, and Maggie are both big parts of a lot of the stories forward. Not just the Negan stuff, but, you know, some of the other stuff that comes up later on, like the Whisperers and other things. They're big characters in those arcs. They have big things that they do in them, so there's no way they could really get rid of them. So, yeah, it sucks, but...
I will say that if Rick did get his hand chopped off, or if he chopped off Carl's arm, I would have loved that episode. If they had pushed it just enough,
that would have put you over the edge?
If they had pushed it, I mean, you know, the Abraham thing was brutal. The Glenn thing was expected, but it was still pretty brutal.
That was very, very brutal.
I got to tell you something about that Glenn scene. That was shot for shot, panel for panel from the comic book. If you pick up Walking Dead number 100, that scene, pretty much verbatim, including what Negan says to him about his eye popping out and stuff, that is pretty much what happened. The only difference is Glenn didn't say, I'll find you in the comics, but he said, I'll find you, Maggie, to her, you know, as he was bleeding to death, which that really tugged at the heartstrings, you know, because that's like the common thread between the two of them is, you know, when they had the picture and they burned the picture and was like, you know, I don't need a picture of you because you'll always be with me and I'll always find you. And, you know, so that was really, I mean, it was, whew, that was a powerful moment when he looked at her and said that. And
how about that? The most popular show on television had some guy get his fucking head bashed in with his eye popping out.
Two guys.
And his limbs are still like flailing around afterwards. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing if, you know, there's people, you know, that are nerdy, that like nerdy stuff and like horror stuff and gore. And, you know, I don't expect like people I sit around with at work to have watched like Ash versus Evil Dead or to be able to like conceptualize that. But this is like a show everybody watches.
Yep.
This is going to be interesting to see other people's reaction.
Oh, that was brutal. That was very brutal.
How did you guys feel about Jeffrey Dean Morgan as Negan?
Oh, my God.
I loved him. I thought he was awesome. I was kind of rooting for him, actually. I'm like, just kill everybody.
I was going to say that. It's great. He's fucking great. I don't want anything to happen to him.
He is born to play that character, is he not? I mean, at this point, there were other actors that I would have liked to have seen in that role. But now that I have seen him fully realized, I can't imagine anyone else playing Negan.
And I just hope they keep it up through the whole time, making you hate his fucking guts. So when Rick decides to let him live, that it will be even make people even angrier.
Spoiler alert. Yes. If you don't read the comic books, Negan does not die at the end of their the all out war that is to come.
I am definitely not watching his show then. Fuck that.
No, it makes sense because after all the death and killing, Rick decides he's not going to just kill him for vengeance. He keeps him alive in a jail cell.
Yeah, he puts him in jail.
The jail cell that probably that Morgan was building.
Yeah, so he can rot for what he did to Glenn. That's
pussy.
Yeah, well, and it actually that's when it gets really interesting because Maggie's like, you got to fucking kill him, you know?
Seriously,
you want her pound of flesh?
Hell yeah!
And Rick's got to convince her that that's not the way to do it.
But I thought he was fantastic. He was chewing scenery like he was going out of business.
And let me tell you something, Andrew Lincoln. How does that guy not win an Emmy every year for this show? He is such a damn fine actor.
Just him and Maggie should win awards from when you hear them talk in their accents.
Oh, my God. He's just so good. And this episode in particular, it's just amazing. He's so good in it. And Negan is so good in it. It's just amazing. It was awesome. Definitely, if not the best episode, it's top three.
Now, do you guys think, how do you think John Q. Public and Joe Sixpack are going to react to this?
I don't know. I think they're going to be upset, obviously, because everyone loves Glenn, especially people who have been watching the show from the beginning. But I would assume that they're just going to, you know, be like me and want to see Negan, you know, get his comeuppance.
Or continue to terrorize them, which he will.
Oh, I'm sure he will. But, you know,
oh, yeah.
in game, Rick's going to be standing over him with an axe and he's going to be like, this is going to be it, and it's going to be cathartic for everyone.
Nah.
Yeah, that's not going to happen, I know, but...
No, you're not getting that.
Yeah, well, I think the good thing about it, like, in terms of the show itself, was that, you know, they killed Abraham, which we didn't expect.
Right.
Then they killed Glenn anyway, which we didn't expect after they had already killed Abraham.
Right.
So when they did say, you know, Rick, chop off Carl's arm...
You thought that
you
was...
were like, well, maybe that will happen. You right. know, there was never a thought. It wasn't like, oh, well, that's not going to happen because it's Carl. No, you know, it was like that's the best thing that could have possibly happened going forward.
Honestly, at that moment, I was thinking in my head, gee, do they really have the budget to CGI Carl with one arm for the rest of the series?
Oh, Jesus,
I was sure it was going to happen.
Well, that's the good thing now, though. A lot of bets are off where you don't have, you know, the core group. Well, outside of the fact that certain people have to stay alive for certain story arcs, you know, you don't have that core group of characters where you're like, well, nothing will happen to these people.
Yeah, they don't have plot armor anymore.
Yeah.
See, you just described exactly why Joss Whedon kills off characters so that you'll know that there's stakes when something does come up.
Well, he should have killed off the Hulk and Black Widow instead of putting him in a terrible romance.
Or he should have killed off Simon in Serenity instead of Wash.
No, Wash hurts. Simon wouldn't have hurt that bad. I love Simon, though.
It would have hurt River.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But no, Wash hurts. Wash still hurts.
Yeah.
Joey doesn't care because he hasn't watched that show.
I still haven't watched Firefly. Too much stuff on TV now. I can't keep up with the stuff.
No, you'll watch. Oh fuck! What was that? What was that awful TV show? The 90-Minute Bride or 90-Minute Fiance?
90-Day Fiance. My wife watched that every week before whatever is on at 9 o'clock that we watch on Sundays.
You'll watch 90-Day Fiance, but you won't watch 13 episodes of Firefly.
Sometimes, well, you know, has anyone on Firefly ever gone to Morocco to like meet their fiance before?
I would meet 90-Minute, or I would watch 90-Minute Fiance. That sounds interesting.
Hey, that show's funny. What can I say? It's no Dance Moms, but it has its moments.
Oh, God. I give up. I give up.
I so love that Scott Gimple has course corrected, like, alongside the comic book, because now Abraham is dead like he should be. Glenn is dead like he should be. And he totally set it up. Obviously, we're talking spoilers here, so this is a big spoiler from the comic book. If you don't read the comic books, stop listening to me now if you care. But in the comics, Abraham had a relationship with a character named Holly. And Holly was actually in the Walking Dead TV show, but she was a real bit character and they didn't develop her at all. And they killed her off last season. So Sasha essentially took the place of the Holly character. Well, in the comics, the Holly character goes after Negan for revenge on Abraham for his death. And there's a really cool twist that happens where Negan brings her back to Rick's group, and he's got like a hood over her head, and you think it's just that he's got her head covered so that, you know, she doesn't see where they're taking her from. And when he turns her over to Rick, they pull the hood off, and she's dead, and she's turned into a walker, and she bites.
Didn't they just do that on something?
I don't know, but...
Wasn't that just on Fear the Walking
Dead?
They
did it on Fear the Walking Dead, but I'm saying...
And they just did that on The Strain, too.
That came from the Walking Dead comic book, where that's how Holly met her comeuppance at the hands of Negan. But it was so well done and cleverly done. And I'm just waiting and wondering if that's what Sasha's eventual fate will be now, because she's the Holly character, essentially. Or maybe it'll be Rosita.
Because maybe it'll be that other guy from Alexandria that I can't remember his name.
I thought Rosita died like when Rick was having those quick like flashes of everyone, the black and white flashes, and hers was the first one to come up. I'm like, oh, good, it was her. That's it. Mystery solved. I'm going about my business.
Yep. Yeah, but right. I liked it. I thought it was great. And I think Jeffrey Dean Morgan is perfect. He's going to be so much fun to watch. If for no other reason, Mark, even if you're kind of, if the overall story has lost its shine for you, you got to admit he's an interesting character and you want to see more of him.
Yeah, he's great. He's a really good actor, and that's a really cool character. And I would watch it, except for now that I know that he's going to live, I don't care now. I really don't necessarily know
that he's going to live, though.
One thing that may change that, Mark, is the fact that he's not exactly a TV show actor. So to keep him around for like 3 or 4 more seasons may not happen.
Yeah, he may not want to stay on. You know, they may have to kill him off because he contractually doesn't want to do more than a couple of years. You know, I mean, I'm sure he'll be there for at least this whole season and next whole season, because they're probably going to just build up to the all-out war storyline, and then that'll resolve at the end of next year. And then who knows if, I mean, at that point they could kill him off, or Rick could exile him, and you don't know if he's dead or not and he's gone, or he could get thrown in jail and rot in a jail cell and be gone. You don't know.
Yeah, exactly. I know, but there's a good chance that that's probably what's going to happen to him. He's going to rot in jail somewhere. And I don't want to see that. I want to see him die. I want to see him die badly.
You ain't going to see him die.
Like in 3 episodes. I'll watch like the next 3 episodes if he dies in a 4th one, but then after that, I don't care.
He ain't going to die this season. And he's still alive and well in the comic books.
Is he? Because he's in jail. That's right.
No.
Wait, he broke out of jail?
No, someone broke him out.
Oh, Jesus.
There's a lot of
cool stuff coming in the future if they stick to it. So.
Oh, if the Whisperers happens, that's going to be freaky. That'll be freaky. That storyline is nuts.
Yeah, so I'll let you guys watch it, and you can tell me about it.
Ah, you're awful.
Whatever. I'm okay with it.
Huh.
So now we know Mark is jumping off the train. Tom, are you still aboard the Walking Dead train?
Oh, yeah, man. This is great. I can't wait to see what he does next. And you know the irony, Joey, is you're not even a big fan of the Negan character in the comic books.
He's all right.
Yeah, but you were always bothered because he drops the F-bomb every other word. And, you know, it definitely seemed
very try-hard, but...
Yeah.
No, I mean, I do like it on the TV show. I'm glad that they've got it right. We have a bad guy that's not...
Bad.
Screwed up like the governor. However, they fucked up the governor pretty bad, so...
Yeah, they ruined his character.
It's not Beth in the hospital.
No, it's definitely not.
You know, it's good. I think we're heading a good place. This is going
to
be pretty interesting.
I can't wait to see what happens to Daryl now that he's with the Saviors. That's going to be a great storyline.
Well, it's all stuff we haven't seen, too. I mean, we're not going to have them just like hanging out in a place for the whole season and watch that place like get fucked up. Like there's a whole nother level of stuff that's going to happen. So it's interesting to see. So I'm excited moving forward.
Okay. Well, why don't we wrap it up? Do we have any recommendations that we want to offer to the Whiz Kids out there?
Mark.
You know, I haven't really been watching anything. I've been working on other stuff, but I will say watch Atlanta. Because I want to say it every week because that show is awesome.
This is the new Blacklist.
This is the new Blacklist. Oh, except for I don't think there's going to be as many episodes. So I'm gonna advise people to watch it every week or maybe every other week, but it won't be as much because Blacklist is that's on like what season is that on, Tom? Like 5?
Four.
Jesus, how's that show still on?
It's awesome.
So
I'll be the first to admit when it drops off, Blacklist doesn't have undying love. I don't have undying love for it. I mean, it earns its love. Okay. If it starts to suck, I'll be the first to admit it.
Fair enough.
But it hasn't yet.
So watch Atlanta and go see Doctor Strange next week.
Yeah, man. Chances are we'll be reviewing that.
Oh, it's a pretty much 100% chance that we're going to be
that's
reviewing
right. That's right. Well, Aubrey's not here, but I'll speak for her when I say that she recommends you have fun on Halloween and you...
Eat candy, fuck bitches.
So make sure you do that. Joey, what do you recommend to them?
Oh, wow, Tom. Just so much stuff to recommend. I would first recommend that everybody go to SoWizardPodcast.com and find the podcast there every week.
Every week?
As well as links to all our social media accounts right on the right-hand side of the page, SoWizardPodcast.com, as well as they could probably subscribe to us on iTunes or listen to us on Stitcher Radio and the Stitcher Radio app on their tablet or smartphone. I wasn't able to go to MegaFest or BingCon this weekend, but I know that the next and final 2016 con appearance for So Wizard Podcast is coming up in November 11th through the 13th, Providence, Rhode Island Comic Con.
That's a big one.
We'll be on the floor as press, and you will be getting a lot and lot and lot of content from there on our Facebook page, Instagram, as well as we'll be recapping it on the podcast. If you're able to go or you are there and you see us, say hi, give us a high five, and say what up. Rhode Island Comic Con, November 11th through the 13th, Providence, Rhode Island.
And I believe three of the four of us will be there. Or correct. Is Aubrey going?
I don't think Aubrey can make it. But...
All right. Well, three of us will be there.
Yeah. And I will recommend that you check out my appearance on Cult 45 podcast this week.
Third podcast mafia.
Correct. I am on there with Mr. Being Black and Beat Him Down. And we go in on the awful, awful bad movie Killer Nerd. It's one of my favorite bad movies of all time. So I brought it to their attention and forced them to watch it. It was a fun time. And I'll be on Dwarf of All Trades coming up, if not this week, the next week. I'm not sure exactly when it drops. And we'll be discussing the Rocky Horror Picture Show remake.
Did you watch that?
Yes. And then we'll be discussing that with them on Dwarf of All Trades.
You've got to give me your impressions of that.
Well, you can listen to that podcast coming up. I'll tell you off. I'll tell you off. I'll tell you off.
Okay.
I'm going to give it away for free, Tom.
All right.
And, that's what I've got going on. So... You know, check out Dork of All Trades. I'll be on there this week. Check out Cult 45. I'm on there this week. Don't forget to always listen to So Wizard Podcast first. And good times, Tom.
Now, see, I know what a fan of the original Rocky Horror you are, so I am very interested in hearing your take on the new Rocky Horror. I'm going to have to check out that episode.
You should.
Dork of All Trades. All right. Well, I will recommend that you go to Rhode Island Comic Con as well, because that's going to be a good time.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan will be there on Saturday. You can, throw something at him or something.
And I do believe that's going to be one of Stan Lee's last East Coast
final New England appearance.
Yep. So that's probably your last shot at meeting him.
So if you like standing in lines.
That's right. For the entire day.
It's got you covered.
Yep. But, I will recommend The Blacklist because it has been great. I will also recommend Supergirl because it has also been great. And I will recommend Ash vs. Evil Dead because it has been amazeballs.
I would tell people to pick up Arrow again because it's been great this year too.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. You know what? Have you watched Legends of Tomorrow yet?
I've only watched one episode. I'm still a little bit behind. My daughter's cheerleading usually ends on weeknights at 7 o'clock, but the last 2 weeks it's been going to 8 o'clock. Because of competitions, so we don't get home until halfway through all these shows. We haven't been able to sit down and watch a lot of them.
I'm
we're behind wondering. On The Flash. We're behind on Legend of Tomorrow.
Wondering how you feel about it. But,
I love the Justice Society, so it's going to be hard for me to not like it.
Right.
I also love the White Canary because she's smoking hot.
Indeed.
So yeah, it smells good.
And of course, I recommend The Walking Dead because it's off to a hell of a start with season 7. And
hopefully you can keep it up.
Yeah, there should be some awesome Negan moments to come.
Don't go hang out on a farm for 15 episodes.
Yeah, I don't think you'll see that.
Don't cut to Beth in a hospital for half the season.
Nope. You're going to see a lot of Rick with his balls cut off.
Don't be like Fear the Walking Dead. It's going to just be boring.
All right. Enough. It didn't stick the landing, but I enjoyed this past season of Fear the Walking Dead.
I also fear the Walking Dead, because when it's on, I get tired and sleepy.
Anyways. All right, well, that's going to do it for us this week. On behalf of my co-hosts, Mr. Joey DiCarlo.
Wiggle it just a little bit.
And Aubrey Litchfield, thanks for staying on as long as you could, Aubrey. And, of course, the expert and my savior, Mr. Marky Mark Markellis Reagans.
Shout out to the Nerd Podcast Mafia. Konnichiwa, bitches.
Yep. Everyone have a happy Halloween. We will talk to you next week. We will have some Halloween-related things to talk about, but that episode will, of course, air after Halloween. So enjoy your Halloween, eat candy, and fuck a lot of bitches. And until then, bye-bye. Fuck you, raccoons. You suck.
Bitches leave.
Have you felt it?
So what happened in Walking Dead? Did Glenn die?
Yes.
Yep.
Oh.